Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, y'all.
I am the gospel here to see.
Oh.
For that you won't be trusted.
You are the seed.
You are the seed.
By faith.
I'm so very glad to be with you all today. Welcome to My Inheritance with Gynecologist Dr. Brittany, where it's a pleasure to serve, then be served. My duty is to bring the beauty by bringing the inner you out of you. How are you all doing today? I'm so very glad y'all are joining me. I sincerely pray that your week has been nothing short of amazing and that you just have been safe and has been prosperous and abundant. Just full of joy and full of abundance. I'm so excited about today. We have three special people to this nation, three phenomenal leaders of this nation. Today I will have Apostle Carl Oakes co-hosting with me. We're featuring him. He will host his very own show on our new gospel radio network. Mr. Carl, are you there? Hello, Mr. Carl, are you there? Well, that's all right. He should be in with us shortly. With that being said, we also have, again, two phenomenal leaders, as well as Mr. Carl. We have Gail Satchel. She is the superintendent for Carver County. And then we have Mr. Peter W. Sherrill. He is a 2020 write-in presidential candidate for the United States of America. Let's give them a round of applause, if you will. All right. Hello, do we have a caller in the queue? Hello? Okay. Ms. Gail, are you with us, Ms. Satchel? Or Mr. Peter? I tell you what, we know what the devil meant for bad, God always makes good. He's not pleased at all about this broadcast because what it's doing is we're talking about the system that cried wolf, right? And I'm going to be transparent, and I'm going to be as honest as I know how to be. Right before the show, my little girl, you know, she's special needs, she was acting up a little bit, and it was supposed to cause me to be distressed or, shall I say, nervous or something like that. But the devil is a liar, so that kind of gave me anxiety. But, again, with the devil meant for bad, God always makes good. Mr. Carr, are you there? Let's see. Can you guys hear me okay? Ms. Satchel, are you in the call queue? Or Mr. Sherrill? Okay, with that being said, we'll wait for these things to transpire. We also have a special presentation on today. We will be presenting Ms. Satchel with an award for leadership. Hello, 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 everybody. Again, what the devil meant for bad, God always makes good. He was very upset about this here broadcast. Hello, Mr. Carl, are you with me? Apostle Carl? Hello, Apostle Carl, are you with me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I am blessed and favored by the best.
Awesome, awesome. I'm so very glad that you are with us. You know, I was telling everybody, the devil is so mad about this here broadcast. And it was like I was calling your name and things of that nature. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. So with that being said, won't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Apostle Carl Ozon. I'm the organizer and the founder of the Shekinah Glory Apostolic Ministry of Deliverance. I am a minister of deliverance and healing because of my own personal life. I have a webinar where I am teaching right now on the kingdom things of God. I thank God for where he had brought me, where he had delivered me from. And it's just by the grace of God that I'm here today. But I am glad that I can be a fixture. I can be a voice. I can be a pillar for the true church that God is raising in this deep.
Amen. Amen. So I was telling our guests that you were going to be a part of our gospel radio network. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I'm excited. I'm very excited. It's going to be called the Shekinah Glory Apostolic Talk. We're going to deal with the topics, the issues, the things that have been overlooked by, I could say, the church of old. And to what God is doing today. And as we know, when you're talking about deliverance, we're going to deal with the topics and things that the church don't want to deal with, haven't want to deal with, where people can truly get saved and people can get healed and get delivered, dealing with the roots, the issues of their life. And that's a lot with even with my webinar that we do. We deal with topics such as rejection, abandonment, rape, molestation, incest. These are the very strong men, the strong issues that have held people in the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, in the world, hostages for many years. So we talking about the issues and we helping people and directing people how to get free and saved and delivered from the issues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that sounds good. When would you air?
August the 7th. We'll be airing August the 7th, and I'm very excited about it. This is just one of the promises that God had spoken into my life. He said, this shall come to pass. Amen.
Wow. Are you nervous?
Somewhat, you know, uncharted waters, but guess what? I love getting launched out to the deep, so be okay with it.
Right. Wow. Well, we are so very glad to have you. I want to say welcome. I also want to say congratulations to you. So I'm just so very proud of you. You know, a lot of times people can't see God for looking at you or for looking at me, you know, and for such a time as this, it all had to happen. If that makes sense. So,
You
do?
Yeah, you know, one thing about it, I was doing some studying today, and Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous. He said, I came for the sick.
That's right.
I came for the sick. He said, I came for the ones who need a doctor. And, you know, one of the biggest problems was that we got so religious and self-righteous in the house of God, when the people come in sick, they end up running back out because the people in the house of God were running them back out. It reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son. When the father welcomed the son home, it was the brother who had issues with him coming home. And this is what happened, and God has had enough. And so he shut it down so that his sheep, not our sheep, not man's sheep, but his sheep can now truly get healed, delivered, set free, and he's raising up a remnant, raising up a group of glory carriers who are carrying the anointing and the power to see that his people are set free.
Wow. I love it. I love it. I mean, hey, I'm so proud of you. Many are called, but few are chosen.
Yes, Lord.
When did you accept Christ? When did you accept Christ? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I did. And, I was raised, you know, you could say I was raised in the church. So I can remember in 1971 getting baptized. I remember getting called to preach in 1980 when I ran. I ran for about 10 years. You know, life journey. I was a product of rejection and abandonment. Myself, I grew up from a double dose of rejection by and abandonment by two fathers, and it sent me on a swirl. And you know, I thank God for who I am because I tell people my story. I tell them the Bible says we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and a word of our testimony. People want to know Christ saved. People want to know Christ healed. If we do not share the testimony, so I don't mind people. Tell them, people, I'm a 20-year delivered crackhead, gangbanger, dope dealer. I've been to the pen. I've been to jail. I used to jack. I used to rob. I used to do everything in the gutter and the streets from South Central Los Angeles. But when it was time for God to get a hold to me, he got a hold to me and made me sweetly reasonable to understand I was going to do it his way and no longer my way. And ever since, I've been on fire for the Lord.
Wow. On the battlefield for the Lord. I know that's right. Again, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy for you. And I just feel led to say this again, like I always say at the beginning of my show, you know, we had a few issues. But again, everybody, welcome to My Inheritance with Godiologist Dr. Brittany, where it's a pleasure to serve than be served. My duty is to bring the beauty by bringing the inner you out of you. And again, we want to welcome you, Apostle Carl Oakes, to the Urban Flavor Gospel Network and on My Inheritance.
Amen.
Now. Okay, so what I'm going to have you to do today is, you know, clap for you, yeah. I'm going to have you to, you know, kind of facilitate with me, you know, interview our guest. Just kind of show you the ropes so you can know what it is for them. We have Mrs. Gail Satchel, Carver County School's first African-American superintendent in its 106-year history. Did you hear what I said, Mr. Carl, Apostle Carl?
Yes, ma'am, I've heard that.
Then we have Mr. Peter W. Sherrill, 2020 write-in presidential candidate for the United States of America, a real alternative for America. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I heard that, too. Yes, ma'am.
Let's give them a round of applause. You know, there's nobody but God. Powerful people. Powerful
yes.
people. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, I'm going to introduce Ms. Gail Satchel. Ms. Gail, are you here? Can she hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi there. How are you? Awesome, awesome. Before we get started, I just want to tell the people about you. It says that you're a college graduate of Nova Southeastern University, University of North Alabama, where you received a professional educator certificate, University of Wisconsin, and Jacksonville State University. Also, you are the this is Mr. Carl. Also, you're the Carver County Schools Board of Education. You've been with them since May 2016. Serves as the top executive CEO in the school district. Implements the school board's vision by making day-to-day decisions about educational programs, spending, staff, and facilities. You hire and supervise and manage the central office staff and principals. General management responsibilities, including hiring of senior staff, oversee education standards and student achievement, plan budgets and all allocate resources, and also act as the point person for interactions with government agencies with Carver County Schools Board of Education. Let's welcome Ms. Gail. Ms. Satchel, she is awesome. Awesome. Well, Ms. Satchel, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do and how you enjoy your job and things of that nature and your love for the people?
Absolutely. And Dr. Brittany, I want to thank you for this opportunity, just for believing in me and wanted to hear my voice and give credence to my voice. So thank you. So what does the CEO of the school system does every day? That is work on behalf of the boys and girls of that school system. I try my best to be the biggest cheerleader that our boys and girls have, and I want to be the biggest advocate that they have, just so that they can have everything that they deserve and more. What does that look like? Each day is different, but nevertheless, every day I am on the front lines of the battlefield, if you will, working on behalf of these boys and girls. I do feel like there's a personal connection because my mom is the oldest, longest-serving foster parent in the state of Alabama. At the age of 72 right now, she still has that lives with her. And I say that because being a superintendent didn't come as a political idea. This is a lifetime for me. And it has started when I was in third grade and when my mom first received her first set of foster kids or placement in her home. And since then, mm-hmm. I have over 100 brothers and sisters that have molded me. God has molded me in a way that you just can't pick up and say, I want to be superintendent. It is something that is personal for me. And and I want to give those kids like me who didn't maybe have an advocate. So let me tell you a little bit about myself that many may not know. And for the audience, I want to take away all of your excuses for not giving God your very best and for utilizing those talents that he has blessed you with, because there will be bumps and there will be mountains, but he wants us to climb those mountains and he doesn't want us to give up. So I'll share with you. If you've been raised from a single parent, that's not an excuse. My mom's a single parent. But I'll tell you, my father didn't leave her. My father was killed in the Vietnam War as he was given his life so that others may live. And that's my earthly father, J.C. Story. And then also, because my mom was single, a single parent, we were poor. So we were received free lunches, and then I got a summer job, and they allowed us to become what we call reduced lunch. So they thought I had some money at that time. So we are now looking at being raised by a single parent. We were poor. I was molested when I was a child in school by a family member. It wasn't a stranger. Again, when I went off to college, I was called, I was date raped. I did not know what date rape meant at the time, but growing older and learning things, I learned that I was date raped in the college. But I tell you all to tell you this, you do not have to give up. And those do not have to be stumbling blocks. All those things that you are encountering or will encounter are just opportunities for you to share the word and have a testimony. And the best part about it, Dr. Whitney, is that God gives us a test, but he also gives us a cheat sheet. He gives us the Bible, and we get to have that cheat sheet so we can pass every single test that he gives us. And there is no such thing as a failure once you have God in your life. I believe that, and I'm a witness to that. And so I say all those things to say that there are many kids, not only in my school district, but surrounding school districts, that face many obstacles that are just unbearable. But I want them to know, parents, I want you to know, do not to give up on your child. Do not allow them to quit. And I don't want you to quit. It is not easy. I know that. Been there, done that. I am still in the midst of doing that. But I want you to know that God will give you strength. He will put people in your life that will speak greatness over you. They will support you. And sometimes that support is simply a prayer, a call, a text, an email. of some type of communication just to confirm that God is with you and he is never, ever going to leave you. And I'll say this, this battle, it's not yours, it's God. So quit picking it up and trying to take care of it. He's going to take care of it for you. And I'm not only speaking to the audience, but to myself. So I say all those things to say that I love my job. I absolutely adore working with my students and also giving our faculty and staff a voice in this era of a pandemic, but also in the new age of education that we are living right now. And I want to be someone that our boys and girls, both black and white, brown, purple, can have an opportunity to say, hey, she's a role model for me. I like what she stands for. And if nothing else, I want to be a beacon of light for Jesus Christ.
Wow. Praise God. Wow. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. And he has unconditionally.
Yes, I want to say something. I can remember when I had began having issues with the school system in Florence. And, you know, they didn't want to respect my child. I can say that now because I'm, you know, like yourself, I'm bold and I have God. They didn't want to respect my daughter. They didn't want to respect the rights that are in place for her or anything. And I can remember reaching out to you. And I want to say it wasn't even a business day or a school day, but that's just how compassionate you are. And you were willing to accommodate and see what it was you could do for me and my children, you know, to be accepted and respected. I won't ever forget. Do you remember it was a few years ago? And it was for Leeden Elementary School. I went to Leeden Elementary, you know, and as I saw the reviews and the things that were said about you June 1st, 2020, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm so proud of you because we have people in position, about people of our color in position to help, to say something, and they won't do it because they're afraid. But because you are, you know who you are and whose you are, you took a stand, not for just you or your child, but for the children in Carver County, Florence City, Lauderdale, wherever. You said what many people in this nation won't say. And God bless you.
God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Wow.
He,
you know,
he
Jesus.
Gave me the courage. And I will tell you, Dr. Brittany, that as I was standing out there with the other 300 people, God and I were wrestling. He kept telling me to go and share my testimony, and I said, no, God, this is not the time, and this is not the place. And he said, no, I'm telling you right now that you need to go. And I was my pastor, Reverend Flip Ingram, was there, and I texted him, and I said, Reverend Ingram, should I go? And he said, yes, they should hear your voice. And that's what I wanted everyone to know is that these things that we saw with Mr. Floyd, anybody could see that it was wrong. It was very overt racism. But what I wanted to bring to the attention of others is that sometimes there are hidden racism, things that will not make the 5 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock news, or the 10 o'clock news. But we go through those types of things every day. And we need to be aware that we need to be proactive and have good, purposeful, godly conversations to address the issues that come before us. And no longer can we go to Guatemala for a week, take pictures, and we have done our racial duties. Our racial responsibilities start at home. It starts in Carver County. It starts in Sheffield. And we need to be aware of that. Now, Dr. Brittany, I know that there are some educators who felt like I threw them under the bus. And I want to say here that that was not my intention. That was not my fault. And that was not my purpose. My purpose was to bring to fruition or bring to the front of the mind that Things of hidden racism happen every day. It does not mean that I was talking about Carver County, Sheffield, Muscle Shoals, none of those places. And if I offended anyone in saying those things, I apologize. Mm-hmm. But I also want people to know that studies do show that black kids, brown kids, are sent to the mm-hmm. office more often than others. Now, it may not mm-hmm. happen in this area, but I guarantee you it happens in Atlanta. It happens in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And it happens in other big cities. And we just need to keep in mind that we need to be fair, firm, and consistent with all of our boys and girls. And I have no doubt that I believe in every single teacher in this area, particularly those teachers in the Carver County School District, that they want what's best for these kids. But also keep in mind, no matter what, that every kid we serve is a human. He or she mm-hmm. has a mother and a father. We may not like their home bringing or their home environment, but that gives us an opportunity, valid opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And we can let our light shine through for these kids by giving them the very best. And most importantly, Dr. Brittany, showing them unconditional love. And I believe that we do that. That's just a reminder that it is out there, and our boys and girls know that.
Right. Wow. I'm in awe of you. You know, God bless you. I totally agree. I will say this, that racism, it was in Florence, and I was actually in denial because I have grown up. I went to an all-white school. I started out at Leeds Elementary, you know, in Carver County. Then my mother got married. And I was in denial, had not ever been a victim of racism, Miss Satchel, until just last year, you know. And when I received that horrific letter in the mail about my daughter, you know, what it was, God allowed me to see that, you know, you're an African-American woman who knows what you're talking about. You know your rights. You know your child's rights. And most importantly, you know me. So if I send you, you go. My thing about it is why must I die for justice to be served? Why is nobody moving or pushing, not for me, but for my children? And I'm not just the voice for my children like yourself. I'm the voice for people in this nation because so many people are afraid to speak up, you know? And when you do speak up and when you're an African-American woman or man, you are labeled as a rebellious person or a problem. And the devil is a liar. For such a time as this, it all had to happen. It all had to happen. God is going to get the glory out of it all.
It does have to happen. And Dr. Brittany, I firmly believe that God's going to hold us accountable for what we do and what we do not do. And sometimes what we do not do is just as important as things that we do. So when we sit back and we turn our heads, we turn our cheeks, God's going to hold us accountable. So there is definitely an opportunity for us to have good, positive, purposeful conversation so that we can get on the same page and know that the only thing that separates us is the devil, because God is a God of unity. He is not a God of chaos, and he wants us to be on this earth to work together so that we can build his kingdom. Not personal kingdoms, not personal agendas. And as soon as we get that message and we come and embrace that message, a lot of the things that we're facing right now will no longer be the focus of our goals. So our focus will be on Jesus Christ and his will. And Dr. Brittany, it's not hard. It is not rocket science. God simply wants us to be his followers, do his word. God gave us 10 things to do. There's 10 commandments. That's it. That's it.
That's it.
When I was working on my dissertation, when I was working on my dissertation, I had 1,000 things to do. As a mother, I have 1,000 things to do. As a superintendent, I have 1,000,000 things to do. But God makes it easy and simple for us and gives us 10 commandments. And he doesn't make it hard. And even if it is hard, guess what? He said all you have to do is ask for forgiveness. How amazing is that? Just ask for forgiveness and move on. So that's where we are. And I just want all the community to know that it is time for us to be a voice for our community, mm-hmm. be a voice for your church, be a voice family, and let's be that village. And I'm talking about everyone, not excluding anyone, that we come together as a village. And that village, we raise our boys and girls. We have high expectations, and that we hold them to that. And not only do we hold them to that, but we support them. So if there's a scholarship mm-hmm. out there, let's help those kids for those scholarships. If there's something they need for school, let's help support them. If they need mm-hmm. something because they're going to be in the 5-5-8 or they're going to be in another local union, let's buy those mm-hmm. steel-toe boots. Let's come together and not be a world of individuals, but a world collectively mm-hmm. with one goal, and that is to serve Jesus Christ.
Right. Kingdom building at its finest. Ms. Thatcher, we're going to go to commercial right quick, and we'll be right back, and we'll have Mr.
Okay.
President is what I call him, Mr. Peter W. Sherrill, join us in on this, okay? Y'all stay tuned. We'll be
Amen.
Right back.
Welcome to a world that is changing. Looking out the window got me wondering lately, will we be okay? Will we be okay?
Yes, sir.
Door closed.
Moses, God got another.
We gon' be okay.
Your doctor's not the final answer, y'all. Hey,
we gon' be okay.
You needed this storm to wake you up and make you better.
We gon' be okay.
Now sing. Yes, sir.
Welcome, welcome back. Everything gonna be okay. Hello,
yes.
Hello, Miss Satchel, are you there?
I am.
Apostle Carl, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Well, let's bring on our future president, Mr. Peter W. Sherrill.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
How are you?
I am well, thank you. You know, doing the impossible, because he says all things are possible.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
So that's
yes.
Yes, he did. And so I am taking him at his word.
Isn't he amazing?
I tell you, it's been some incredible testimony. I heard the apostle. And I heard the apostle, and I was just sitting there like, see, there's a rising. How Tasha Carl says. There's an army rising up.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's an army rising up. People who are truly, truly committed to the Lord. Truly committed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I am just, first I just want to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come on your radio show and to be a part of it.
Bless you.
It was nobody but God.
Right.
And
nobody but God.
It was nobody but God. I mean, but see, he opens doors, and he does it at the twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And when you least expect it, he gives you everything you need, just like his word says. He gives you everything. Everything.
Yeah.
And so it is a pleasure. It is an honor. Dr. Brittany Vincent, to be with you this afternoon, I commend the apostle for being so open and honest about his life, and it just goes to show you that God is so amazing, and he loves us so much that he doesn't look at our faults. He looks
That's
at
right.
what he planted in us from the foundations of the earth.
Amen.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's just such a joyous thing. And it was so refreshing to hear an apostle be so honest and sincere. See, that's what's missing. Everybody's walking around like they ain't never did nothing wrong in their life. Come on.
Okay.
You know? And they miss what God has planned. See, God knew this from the beginning to the end, but he already knew what he planted. And so he's like, oh, well, you'll get there. Raise up a child, train a child, and raise up a child, and he'll go back to what he knows. And for the superintendent, as you already know, education is vital for our youth. Especially of color, you know, we cannot afford to not get educated, because we can't afford to be like 45 and basically have no education, at least no semblance of being educated and succeed in life. It is hard enough. It is hard enough even being accredited and being in Alabama. I'm from New York. things are done overtly. But I even applaud you and commend you even more be able to rise to the level that you have risen to, and the commitment, not political, spiritual, spiritually
Amen.
Guided.
Amen.
It makes it's such a different experience when you're spiritually guided, and when you know that you're doing what you've been called to do, when you know that you are doing His purpose and His will, it makes
mm-hmm.
everything so much different. Yeah, you're going to get a
right.
preaching president.
Yeah, that's what we need.
I'm going to be giving my briefs, and I'm going to be preaching. They're going, oh, God, he's preaching again.
Hey,
that's all right.
But,
that's
all
right.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, it's been deeply rooted and deeply planted. As Dr. Brittany has said, that I am running for president of the United States, but we're doing something unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
And technically impossible. We are pursuing the Right and Vote campaign, national Right and Vote campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's never mm-hmm. been done before. It's been done local and like at the state and Senate level, but it's never been done for president. I am
mm-hmm.
telling you. But the way things are unfolding, we are coming, and just recently, I think me and Dr. Vinson just met Sunday.
Sunday, we
and
did.
And so many things have transpired just from our unification, and
wow.
you know, we have somebody in Alabama, we have somebody in Las Vegas, we have somebody in San Francisco, we have Atlanta. And we have New York and Chicago. We are growing. And everybody who is joining in on this mission is spiritually based and spiritually grounded. And so it's going to be a phenomenal move of God. And we're going to be
mm-hmm.
speaking out, because there are so many things that need to be addressed in this society. And should I just share a little bit of my background, or you want to read, you know, I don't know what order you want to do this, but I'll stop there and let you interject, Ms. Dr. Vinson.
Okay. What we can do is I want to present Ms. Satchel with her award, you know, and then you can tell
yes.
us a little bit more about your background, you know, and then with this pandemic and education, all these things, you know. So, Ms. Satchel, you know that you took a stand for many in the nation, literally. And on behalf of My Inheritance Ministries, we would like to present you with an award of excellence in leadership, because like Big Mama said in the movie Soul Food, it takes a mighty fist to make a mighty blow. And you literally represented on June 1st, 2020. I think that's the correct day, right? You took a stand.
Yes.
You were one nation under God with liberty
right.
and justice for all.
Right.
You don't hear anybody expressing that. You don't hear anybody saying that the truth shall set you free. I don't
all
care.
Right.
Yes, all lives matter. You know, all children matter. But for such a
yes.
time as this, it all had to happen. So, again, on behalf of My Inheritance, we would like to present you the Excellence in Leadership Award. It's the first annual award, so thank you. God bless you, and we love you. How many
thank you, Dr. Brittany. Thank you to you and your staff for believing in me. And keep me in your prayers, because God has a lot more out there He wants me to do.
Yes, ma'am, He does.
A lot more.
Yes. Yes, he does. A lot more. Mr. President?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I didn't hear you.
Oh. Yes. Congratulations. And
mm-hmm.
I just like to
Thank
say
you.
Leadership matters. We
yes,
are watching. We are watching in this country. We're the worst country as far as response to this pandemic. We are the worst. We are the worst. and it's amazing because, you know, they are trying to do a PR spin on the narrative. But leadership matters. The fact that, I'll preface this with my background, because my background is in Homeland Security. But actually, I spent 25 years in corporate America, and half of the time I was at the corporate headquarters at Texaco Inc. in White Plains, New York, and I was involved in one of the class action racial discrimination lawsuits. And let me tell you, it was brutal. It was brutal. And so, you go through these experiences. So, but anyway, my governmental background is in Homeland Security and Director of Emergency Services. And so I'm watching this pandemic unfold in China, and then I watch it come to the United States, and I watch so many levels of this thing breaking down, from the WHO to the CDC. By definition, a pandemic is when any disease leaves a country. Not only did this virus, COVID-19, leave China, it was headed across the globe, and the World Health Organization was still not declaring it a pandemic. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What number and how many people got to get infected and die before you declare this thing a pandemic? That's the first problem. Okay? The next problem is that now it's at the United States. But now we've come to find out that they have reports since November and December, and he did not read any of the reports about this pandemic. Okay? So I think I gave a recent PSA on this. It was March, the first week of March, there were only 5 deaths in this country. But see, the individual that's acting like he's a leader, and I'm just trying to say how much leadership matters, he was saying, oh, it's a hoax. Oh, by April, it'll disappear. When the weather gets nice, it'll all go away. He's saying this. These words. So if the person who's in charge of the country is saying these words, then nobody is going to say we need to buy millions and millions of masks. We need to buy PPE. We need to stockpile on ventilators just in case when it gets here.
Mm-hmm.
Not when it gets here, but if and when it gets here. See, the one thing that we do in Homeland Security, we train worst case scenario and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched it go from 5 in March. What's this, July now? April, May, June,
yes,
July.
Sir.
4 months, April, May, June, July. I watched it go from 5 deaths to now we are at, in March, the first week of March, it was 5 deaths. And now we're at four months, we are at 133,000 deaths and over 3 million people infected, all because of one man's gross negligence, craved indifference, and who has recklessly endangered this whole country because of his, it's a hoax. And it'll be gone by April. It is now spiking, and we haven't even been to the second wave yet of this virus. And now they want to send kids back to school.
Mm-hmm.
They are mandating that you send children back to school. They don't even have the proper CDC guidelines, which CDC is kind of responsible, but then the president was like, oh, no, you don't need to wear a mask. So CDC was like, okay, we can't say wear a mask. But they had such a shortage from not ordering any masks that they needed to say the mask for the healthcare workers So they was telling everybody, you don't need a mask. Now it's like, you need a mask, but now he's not wearing it, the vice president's not wearing it, and you have a tremendous amount of people just who are loyal to him, and he's like, you know, I don't look good in a mask. So the insanity of, mm-hmm. of this one individual's leadership is destroying this entire nation, is killing Americans. And the other thing is that it's mostly impacting people of color, black and brown. We are being the heaviest impacted because of this. And that's the difference in leadership. And so mm-hmm. I just said all that to say I commend you for the stance that you have taken to make a difference. And I can hear mm-hmm. your passion for the children in your district.
Oh,
and I know who, and I used to run an after school program, so I know how much it takes to just run a after school program, nevertheless, a whole entire district as superintendent. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I am well aware, and I commend you, and congratulations again on your leadership award, because leadership is important and it matters.
Yeah, thank you.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. What is y'all's take on, you just mentioned about, you know, him ordering or whatever he's doing for children to go back to school with the pandemic. How do y'all feel about that? Because in the beginning of the year, he shut schools down or whatever it was he done when schools were closed. You see what I'm saying? Now he's like forcing kids to go back. Do y'all not think that that would make children or make us as parents feel, which I homeschool, private homeschool my children, but make it feel like they're kind of like in the Holocaust, you know, like a prisoner? I don't think that would even be mentally stable for children, you know, this situation here, but just going back to school, being 6 feet apart with a mask, and then, is that not like prison? Would y'all not think? Or what are y'all, I mean, we're entitled to our own opinions, but what are y'all's takes on that?
Well, I would just say, and then I'll let the superintendent, because she's going to have to be the one who really deals with this issue, especially when it comes mandated, and they're talking about cutting funding if you don't open up your schools. But first of all, when you have children, it's going to be virtually impossible to have them mm-hmm. 6 feet apart in the classroom,
right.
Because you already have close to, in public schools, you basically have overcrowding anyway. So how do you even separate them and then separate kids from playing and being together? That is virtually impossible. So
mm-hmm.
I am very concerned about this mandate to send kids mm-hmm. to school in the fall. And we're watching now. If the virus was diminishing, I would say yes, but you are seeing the virus spike to levels higher than when it was at its peak in this country when it started. So
mm-hmm.
I'm very curious. I would love to hear what the superintendent says and how she plans on handling that aspect of education and when it forces schools to reopen.
Thank you so much. Well, I will tell you that as quick as the weather changes, also the mandates have changed. We are under guidance from the State Department, the
mm-hmm.
Center for Disease Control, the Alabama Health Department, then the Pediatric Association. So there's four to five different organizations that's telling us what to do. I'm going to lovingly say that I do believe that our kids need to be back in an educational setting as traditional mm-hmm. as possible. And the reason I say that mm-hmm. is because they need that not only academic component, but also that social and emotional component.
Right.
Now,
yes.
I say that to say that we're not going to be a 100% germ-free environment, but neither is our local Walmart, Dollar General, and our kids go there every day, our churches.
Mm-hmm.
Churches. Some churches are open. But I do feel as though given the right amount of protective opportunities, given the right amount of information, given the right amount of staff, that we can make an environment as safe, if not safer, places where our kids go now. No one has asked or demanded that kids wear a mask all day. It is encouraged, but it's not required. Also, with our boys and girls, we want to continue to give them art, give them PE, give them all the things that they deserve. And some of those things are just not feasible remotely. It's hard to teach an art class remotely. I know it can be done, but it's just not the same. And also, some of our parents, they need to go to work, and we want to help their families as possible by providing an education for those boys and girls. The other thing is, our boys and girls, believe it or not, they come to school for nutrition, breakfast and lunch. We need to feed those kids. Now, I will tell you that for the first time, Carver County is going to what we call a universal meal plan, that every kid gets a free breakfast. Every kid. No money is taken. You will get a free breakfast. That's going to help a lot of our kids out. And then also for will be available for lunch. And those kids that do not come, they choose to do remote learning, we're going to provide those for once a week. So as a superintendent, I would say that I think it's in the – I feel as though it's in the best interest of our boys and girls to have some type of traditional learning available to them with some type of remote, if we had to go to remote learning, that we can do that as well. But it is so much – school is so much more than reading math, science, and history. It's interacting with our friends. It's going to the cafeteria line. It's behavior. It's environment. It's those types of things. I'm sorry. Yes.
I didn't mean to cut you off. We're about to our time is limited. I think we could do a part two if y'all are down for it. We can discuss. But this is definitely open for discussion.
Yes, let's do it. I'm committed.
Okay.
I
awesome.
Am also. I just like to say one thing real quick, if I could. The only difference is between being in a Walmart, church, et cetera, et cetera. The children are in school for over 8 hours during the whole course of a day. That's not the same as Walmart and all the rest of those. That's a serious differential, and that's what needs to be factored in. They will be exposed for an extensive period of time. I just wanted to say that. You are absolutely right. They do need some form of traditional educational environment.
Right.
But as soon as somebody's kid gets COVID, the school district is sued. You know that, right? You know they're going to sue the school district.
Wow. Yes,
they sure
are. Yes, sir.
It's a dangerous balance.
Right. So next week, what we can do, we can do a part two. It always goes like this. Again, everybody, remember what the devil meant for bad, God always makes good. We had a great show, and it will be continued next week. We're going to have some special guests, my twin aunts, Nina and Tina, and their birthday. So we'll see you guys next week. God bless. Y'all be safe.
Thank you.
Here we go.